Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 9:05 a.m. on Tuesday, April 12, 2022. Present today are Representative Carpenter, Representative LeBon, Representative Edgman, Vice Chair Ortiz, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, Representative Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Merrick, and online, looks like we have Representative Rasmussen and Representative Thompson. This morning, we will consider Senate Bill 9, Alcoholic Beverage Control, Alcohol Regs, by Senator Machicki. We last heard this bill on March 30th, and amendments were due to my office by Saturday, April 2nd at 6 p.m. There are 27 amendments before the committee today. But before amendments, we will go over the fiscal notes. And the first fiscal note, let's see if we have our presenter online. Robert Heidi. Is there anyone in the room to present a fiscal note? Ms. Mead? Great, thank you. We have Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Court System. She will review fiscal note number 6, control code KSXET. Ms. Mead, thank you for being here.
Thank you for the record. Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska Court System. The court system submits a fiscal note, it's number 6, I guess, in your packet, for just a part-time, one-time attorney who will be responsible for implementing the bill. The bill, among other changes to the alcohol industry, changes the penalty category and specifies penalties that have to be imposed upon conviction for any of the alcohol-related offenses, and about 63 of the offenses in Title IV are changed from low-level misdemeanors to violations, and the bill in Section 162 changes a court rule, and basically the court system needs to put all these violations on a bail forfeiture schedule, which you should really think of as a fine schedule, even though the statutes call it a bail forfeiture schedule, so that people can receive citations for these, mail in the amount on the citation, and resolve the offense without a mandatory court appearance. Making sure that that's done properly is actually a very detail-oriented and time-consuming task. It involves coding, and it involves writing the rule, bringing it to the Supreme Court, writing a short description of each of these violations. And so we are seeking funding for an attorney for 3 months during FY23 to accomplish all those tasks.
Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the presenter, is the attorney going to be on contract from outside the court system, or will it be on staff? Or what's the vision?
Through the chair to Representative LeBon, the reason we have a fiscal note is our attorney staff is stretched extremely thin these days and has been for the last several years at least, and we would hire a part-time, one-time temp employee, perhaps a graduating law clerk or something like that, to accomplish this work.
Thank you. Further questions on fiscal note number 6? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Mead. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And it looks like online now we do have Robert Heidi. Fiscal note number 10, control code GCMOZ from the Division of Juvenile Justice in DHSS. Robert Heidi is the program officer to present this fiscal note. Mr. Heidi, if you could place yourself on the record, please.
Yes, thank you. My name is Robert Heidi with Division of Juvenile Justice, and DJJ has noted a zero fiscal note for this. The bill really overhauls a lot of the alcohol laws, not necessarily so many of the laws that affect criminal offenses. The ones that do don't really impact DJJ. We'll still see referrals for this, and it's going to have really no fiscal or programmatic impact to our division.
Great, thank you. Are there questions on fiscal note number 10? Representative Carpenter.
About the second paragraph, first sentence of the second paragraph, and maybe I can expand upon that just a little bit. It says, under the existing statute, juvenile offenders cited for these offenses are referred to the Division of Juvenile Justice. Referral to the Division provision for these offenses is rare. Can I have some help in understanding? Does this mean that we're not having a whole lot of citations for these offenses, or does it just not, the process just breaks down and it doesn't, they don't get referred? I'm not sure what it's meaning there.
Mr. Heidi?
Sure, through the chair, Representative Carpenter. I think it's really the second part. There's really not a breakdown. It's just that many of these offenses don't escalate to the point of DJJ being referred for them, and or most of the offenses that are cited here, except for delivery, purchase by a person under 21 years of age, or delivery to a person by 21 years of age. With the exception of those, the other ones are so rare that we might not have any record of those occurring, or at least in the past 5 fiscal years, have not had any record of those offenses occurring.
Thank you. Anything further? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Heidi, for being here. It looks like next will be fiscal note number 9 from DCCED, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, control code VRIFW. Melissa Dumas is here to review it. Ms. Dumas, if you could please state your name and on the record, and go ahead and go over the fiscal note.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Melissa Dumas, Admin Operations Manager for the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. Our division does not anticipate any cost for this fiscal note, and as a result, we have a zero note.
Great, thank you. I see no questions. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
At this time, I do not see anyone from the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, but we do have fiscal note number 7, control code MLTHA from the Tax Division, Department of Revenue. Nicole Reynolds is online. If you could place yourself on the record and review fiscal note 7, please, Ms. Reynolds.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Reynolds. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division at the Department of Revenue. The department submitted an indeterminate fiscal note for the prior version of this bill. Our fiscal note was submitted back in early January. Since the time that we submitted our fiscal note, there were some amendments to the bill that changed the winery direct shipment license to a manufacturer direct shipment license. We did not submit a new fiscal note for that because it was still an indeterminate fiscal note, and the cost piece did not change at all. But I just wanted to point that out. we still do not have sufficient data on the volume of alcoholic beverages that are shipped into Alaska for personal use, and so that's why the fiscal note is indeterminate. But we do expect that extending the existing excise tax to holders of the manufacturer direct shipment license who sell their alcoholic beverages to Alaskans for their personal use will have a positive effect on tax revenues beginning in the second half of fiscal year 2024. And as I stated before, the cost piece would be only a very small administrative burden that the division would absorb with existing resources.
Great, thank you. Representative Josephson.
Yes, through the chair. Ms. Reynolds, if I were in Sonoma County and I bought a case of wine, I would pay a California tax, I'm going to guess. And then would I, if I shipped it to my home in Anchorage, would I pay another tax in Alaska?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, the tax would be paid by the holder of a manufacturer direct shipment license. And so if you are buying that that wine yourself personally, and then you bring it to Alaska, if you're not the holder of that license, you wouldn't be paying that tax, is my understanding of how this bill would work.
Thank you. Anything further? Seeing none, thank you so much, Ms. Reynolds, for calling in. And it looks like online for fiscal note number 8, control Patrol Code OCWHW. We have Rick Helms from AMCO. If you could put yourself on the record and review Fiscal Note 8. Thank you for being here.
Hi, good morning. For the record, Rick Helms with AMCO. I'm standing in for the director who's and the chair who are actually in an alcohol beverage control meeting as we speak. I'm prepared to answer any questions that the committee might have with regard to the fiscal note that's been filed and addressed.
Great, thank you. We appreciate you filling in. Are there questions? Seeing none, if anything comes up, we will get back to the director. So thank you so much for being here, Mr. Helms.
Thank you.
And with that, that is our last fiscal note to review. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record. Before we consider amendments, we'll take an opening statement from Senator Michicki. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of House Finance, for spending part of your day on this bill once again. I appreciate your attention to it. The only thing I ask you to do is remember that we've worked really hard with many of you and with Alaskans around the state on trying to find a balance. That balance is recognizing the fact that breweries, distilleries, wineries, and those outfits from that category that have tasting rooms are fighting for less restrictions so that their market share can continue to grow and have opportunities they haven't had in the past. We've worked out those issues with other licensees who would like to see the value of their licenses preserved over time. And in that balance, over years of effort, you see a document before you that represents what that 175 steering team group, which included every category, including ordinary Alaskans, municipalities, and the various license holders, as well as public safety and public health. This is their best effort. And as we go through amendments, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. This is how the process works. I get it. This is a fairly stressful bill and a stressful time in the process of this bill. But I intend to stay calm and give you the straightest answers I possibly can. And I think I'll leave it at that. And I'm happy to answer any questions as we go through this process.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Are there any questions from the committee before we go to amendments? Seeing none, we will consider amendments first for myself, Representative Rasmussen, and Representative Laban, before we take up amendments from Representative Wolf. So I move amendment number one. Is there an objection?
Do you mean replacement number one?
Yes, amendment number one, replacement.
I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you. This amendment is clarifying language regarding the court rule change included in the bill, which has a higher vote threshold than the rest of the bill. Andrew Dunmire from Legislative Legal is online to answer any questions the committee may have. Mr. Dunmire, would you like to comment on the need for this amendment?
Yes, through the chair, this is Andrew Dunmire from Leg Legal. Nancy Mead from the General Counsel from the court system brought to our attention that SB 9 lacked this language, and the drafting manual does require it to be in here. Basically, what it is notification to legislators that there is a change to a court rule in here, which requires a two-thirds vote under the Constitution. So whether this language is in the bill or not, the Constitution does require it. So this I think could be considered a technical conforming change that has no substantive change on the bill. It just lets legislators know that there is a rule.
as a higher threshold.
Great, thank you. And we always count on Ms. Mead to catch things for us. Are there any questions on amendment number one replacement? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
I remove my objection.
Further objection? Hearing none, amendment number one replacement has been adopted. Amendment number two by Representative Rasmussen. Representative Rasmussen, is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move amendment number two.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Rasmussen.
Yes, so this amendment, sorry, I have language for the wrong one. Can I get a quick at ease?
Brief at ease. Finance back on the record. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Sorry, I had to shuffle a little bit there. Amendment number two provides some reasonable sideboards to the manufacturer direct shipment license. This would allow a manufacturer to ship directly to the customer, therefore bypassing the wholesaler and retailer. The direct shipment section was added in another committee, and I think that based on feedback we've received from wholesalers and retailers that it could become problematic. There's currently 19 states who do not allow direct shipment, and the original version of this bill didn't allow it either. So this just strikes a compromise, basically, to hopefully move the bill forward. And if the maker of the bill has any further comment on it, I believe we worked with their office on this amendment.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We listened and we heard it in this committee that folks that are kind of dealing with the like wine club kind of thing, that it would complicate shipment with the amounts that we had. And we support this amendment. We think that this covers all of the sort of wine club kind of shipments so that they can move to the 2 cases per sale and 12 cases per year from 1 case per sale and 3 cases per year. So if you're in a wine club of a case a month, it allows that to occur.
Great, thank you. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, for, I guess I'll start with President Chief. The last two lines on the allowance for brewed beverages, 300,000 barrels. I learned this morning, unless I learned incorrectly, that our biggest craft brewery, I guess, is the Alaska Brewery, and they produce 100,000 barrels per year. So why does this need to be as big as it is?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you, Representative Josephson. Through the chair, this one of the fears in state was that Budweiser and other really large distillers and would be able to compete, and this keeps those larger outside organizations from participating. So this is an Alaska thing, and that language clarifies that.
Representative Josephson.
Is this designed to allow some growth in the industry? Is that the idea?
Absolutely, but still would never include those larger outside entities from participating.
Representative Lebon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the presenter, could you help the listening audience understand how many bottles of wine one would find in a case of wine?
Yes. So a case of wine would be 12 bottles. That's what we're changing this to. So they'd be able to get 24 bottles per month. And Second. And it goes to 12 cases per year, so that's 144 bottles.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Josephson, and then Wolf.
Through the chair, President Machiga, this for a dry community in Alaska, this wouldn't change how we stop effectively or essentially the importation of wine club alcohol.
No, it absolutely does not change that definition or how that's handled in Alaska law.
Thank you, Representative Wolf.
Thank you, just Madam Chair, a point of clarification. This bill would change 9 liters to 18 liters. So that's two cases per one transaction and 108 liters in a year. Is that correct? So 12 per year, two per purchase, 12 per year.
That's correct.
Per winery. For an individual company. You could go to another company and do the same thing.
Thank you. Representative Carpenter? Anything further for amendment number two? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number two has been adopted. Next, we will go to Representative LeBon on amendment number 25. Representative LeBon, is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 25.
Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 25 would add, in quotes, online auction as an option for the alcoholic beverage auction permit found under Alaska Statute 04.09.660 on page 49. Currently in regulation, qualified Alaskan nonprofits incorporated under Alaska Statute 10.20 can sell wine through outcry or silent auction. Senate Bill 9 moves that framework into statute and calls it an alcoholic beverage auction permit. Madam Chair, by example, in Fairbanks, there's an annual fundraiser for the Catholic schools called HIPAL. This annual event hosted by Catholic Schools of Fairbanks and the Monroe Foundation often has wine baskets as an auction item. I know this from personal experience. Due to COVID, HIPAL transitioned to an online format for the years 2020 and 2021. They also utilize an online platform to facilitate their silent auction. My office's conversations with legislative legal raised the concern that the term silent auction may not sufficiently cover this more efficient and modern auction method. And this change would explicitly ensure that fundraisers like HIPAL could use these online platforms to facilitate their auctions. And with that, Madam Chair, I urge committee support.
Are there questions regarding Amendment 25? Hearing none, is the objection maintained?
It is not. It's withdrawn.
Further objection? Hearing none, Amendment 25 has been adopted. Amendment 26, also by Representative LeBon. Representative LeBon, is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 26.
There's been an objection. Representative LeBon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 26 would allow a municipality's local legislative body, for example, a city council, an assembly, et cetera, to pass a resolution petitioning the ABC board for additional brewery retail, winery retail, or distillery retail licenses if a community is at the license population cap, and assuming that the community also has local law enforcement. In the case of Fairbanks, it would be the Fairbanks Police Department. The bill already has this feature for restaurant and eating place licenses. This would just add these other manufacturer retail licenses to that structure. In determining whether additional licenses should be granted by the ABC board, the board must consider impacts on public health, impacts on public safety, promotion of a competitive and dynamic marketplace, and the promotion of economic development and diversification. An application must be decided within 90 days, and a denial of a petition must be accompanied by an explanation of the objective factors that went into the petition being denied and how a petitioner may be granted future consideration by ABC. So with that, maybe I've explained enough of it, but that's the amendment, and I urge your support.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair to the sponsor, Representative LeBron, you said the board would have to explain in writing why they denied the increase. Would that then be subject to Superior Court, to an administrative appeal or further litigation?
Yes, through the chair. The intent is that the ABC board give direction to the applicant, not just deny it. If I were to bring this into the banking world, I could deny a loan. I could say no on your loan request, but in the spirit of cooperation and full disclosure, I should tell you why. And that's the intent, is to give direction, feedback as to what is a reason for the denial and what could result in an approval in the future.
Follow-up? Certainly may.
Through the chair, I'm calling on you, Senator, because I think you are an expert at this point. What is the current system? That is, if Wasilla was capped out and they wanted another liquor store or whatever, what's the current process?
The current process is that someone would have to either grow their population to include another, depends, so you talked about a liquor store, that this amendment, I believe, only deals with REPLs. And
so
they would have to grow their population to get to that point, or someone that's interested in coming in would have to purchase one of the existing licenses at a likely very high price.
Yes, follow-up.
There was just an editorial from the folks concerned with treatment and rehabilitation, et cetera, talking in favor of the bill, wanting to put some limits on opportunities to purchase and consume alcohol. Is this disruptive of that goal in your mind? Or otherwise, how do you perceive this amendment?
So I understand what Representative LeBron is trying to do. We gave a suggestion that would do that, and that would be something that the bill does allow, but without tasting rooms included. And that would be, and I'm sorry, I'm directly getting to your answer, even if it doesn't sound that way. So it would say that the population of the borough can be included in bringing in additional licenses, tasting rooms, using that borough number in the municipality. What we as the folks have been working on this Title IV rewrite, oppose about this amendment is it eliminates the first class protection of people, of communities that have the ability to manage a different additional licensees. This allows new licenses all over the state of REPLs and tasting rooms. If it were moving borough numbers into the city, then those are already numbers that already have the wherewithal, moving it into the city where they have the police force, the ability to manage these things, and that would allow the additional licensees that Representative LeBron fears could be cut out by the 1 in 12,000. So the reason we suggested that other option is that it stays in the spirit of not having those additional licenses in places where there is not adequate public safety support to manage some of those additional licenses.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to take a brief at ease. Finance back on the record. Representative Laban.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to remove my amendment at this time.
Amendment 26 will be rolled to the bottom. Amendment 27 from Representative Laban. Is there a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 27.
Is there an objection? I will object for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 27 restores the annual volume limits for distilled spirits and brewed beverages to the amounts passed out of the Senate for direct shipment by in-state manufacturers. This would allow for up to 10 liters of distilled spirits or 27 gallons of brewed beverages to be purchased in a calendar year by direct shipment from the holder of a manufacturer's license. Direct shipment is a great opportunity for in-state manufacturers to reach customers. In my district, we have a distiller who is often asked by tourists if he could ship his product to them so they don't have to travel with a bottle of Fairbanks-made vodka in their luggage while they explore our state. This change ensures that we are matching the opportunity being open for direct shippers of wine, and I urge the committee support.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on Amendment 27?
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Representative LeBond, do you know why some previous committee amended this downward?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, I do not know that insight. Maybe the bill sponsor would offer a little bit of insight.
Senator Machicki.
So, thank you. This is not one of my been dealing with for 10 years thing, because it's kind of a recent deal. So, public safety was concerned. The wine was not really a concern because the typical folks that have been using the direct shipment for wine have kind of been the wine club type of people. Folks don't ship beer, so. But the spirits were their concern, and the reason they were concerned with the increases in spirits is not one ordering, but it if there were a family perhaps involved, a large family perhaps involved with bootlegging, they would be able to order a pretty significant amount of spirits, and that was their concern and why we reduced it back down. Now, when we reduced it back down, we also found that we cut wine a little short, so that's part of that, trying to dial it in just perfectly. The spirits were the concern, and I think that's the concern with this amendment, but I will tell you that I don't have a, without being able to talk to the team here at the last moment, I don't know how strong folks would feel about it. I would note that if the spirits weren't doubled, that there would be no opposition. I think that's the primary concern. Just an enormous amount of alcohol going out potentially into rural Alaska and making a difficult problem not better. This bill tries to make that problem better, and doubling the spirits kind of compromises that.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, just to be absolutely clear for the record, Senator Michigan. Department of Public Safety found this unpersuasive. Right? They didn't like this.
Public safety and public health were, I mean, primarily public health because they speak through them in this team. They're always concerned about the flow of alcohol into rural Alaska. This doubles that flow of spirits, which is obviously the problem. Again, no one ships beer, but the spirit is what's concerning in our rural communities primarily.
Thank you. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yeah, this is one of a recent change, this direct shipping. It's one of many or a few amendments that happened very recently that I think is it's a transformational shift when people can direct ship alcohol anywhere in the state. From manufacturers, which I don't oppose, but I agree with the bill sponsor in that wine is different than hard alcohol, and in its concentrated sort of horsepower of intoxication powers. But if you get 9 liters of hard alcohol, as I think the bill sponsor said, multiple, that's a lot of booze. And if you, you know, I think it could be a problem, especially when you talk about access to alcohol in places where that's not good. And I think wine is different. It's not bootlegged and so on and so forth. So I agree with the increase in the wine amounts. I don't agree with the increase in the alcohol amounts. And again, this hasn't even been done yet. A lot of this stuff in this bill hasn't been done, so we don't know what the effect is going to be. So before we open floodgates on a lot of this stuff, I mean, if you go back just a couple of years, it's a lot different. So I think some of this stuff we should wait and see on what the effects of the changes are. And so I do not support this amendment, although I understand the intent. And increasing the wine, I think, is different than increasing hard alcohol.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative LeBon, wrap up.
Yes, I appreciate the comments, and I also appreciate the comments from the sponsor about the unlikelihood that beer is going to be shipped. And it really is distilled product, and what I heard from my downtown Fairbanks business is there's a demand, there is a want from visitors out of state to buy his locally distilled product and have it shipped, so they're not carrying it throughout their visit in Alaska. And that's the motivation behind this amendment, and I hope the committee will support it.
Representative
Wolf. You brought up something that I raised a question.
Representative Wolf.
Thank you. Representative LeBon, in regards to your last comment that a visitor wouldn't have to buy, carry the alcohol around, they could have it shipped. Currently, they could have shipped 4.5 liters from the manufacturer to their home state, and it'll be on their doorstep waiting, and assuming the home state allows this kind of shipping. 4.5 liters is not a small amount. So for per person, that seems like for a visitor that would be a lot. Did the distiller say that was too low an amount for an individual to ship to their house?
And through the chair, the input I received is that 9 liters would be better than 4.5. So thus the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm hesitant to muddy the waters in an area that I'm not sure that I know that much about, but based on the testimony of the sponsor and the concerns raised by Representative Wohl, is there a way that we could split this to define spirits only, that we don't change the limits on spirits, and we, so that I don't think anybody's concerned about the wine aspect, so can we just limit it to, or make the amendment speak to that only? I don't know if we can do that or not. That's a question. I'm not.
I guess we're not at wrap up.
Jumped the gun there. I apologize.
I guess the main point of the amendment is distilled spirits and not shipping gallons of beer. But
take a brief at ease.
Thank you.
Finance back on the record. Anything further on Amendment 27? Any further comments, Representative LeBon?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, the focus of the amendment is distilled spirits. I'm not expecting that beer is going to be a widely shipped item. I've heard that from committee members and from the bill sponsor. So why 9 liters versus 4.5? That's the input I've received from my district, so I do support it. Thank you.
Thank you, and I will maintain my objection. So with that, Madam Clerk, if you would please call the roll.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Edgeman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Rasmussen.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wolf.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
No.
3 yeas, 7 nays.
And with a vote of 3 yeas and 7 nays, Amendment 27 has failed to be adopted. We will now move to Representative Wool's amendment. I'm going to allow him a little latitude to move these in the order that he sees fit.
Thank you, Madam.
I believe we're on Amendment 23, is that correct?
Sheet. Yes. I move Amendment 23.
Object for discussion? Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and thank you for the latitude. I have a lot of amendments, and some are contradictory to others, depending on what passes and so on. As I've said before, this bill has changed a lot over the years. It was introduced in 2015, as some of you may remember, SB 99. It didn't pass. A few of the items were taken out and passed as separate bills, I believe. 2017, it came back as SB 76. And if you remember, in the earlier version of this bill, in the bill drafted by the working group that was formed first in 2012, 60 stakeholders and 6,000 hours. In 2017, they came up, the bill SB 76 had a provision that, for example, tasting rooms could sell 20% of their product directly to the public, only 20%, and had up to 8 years to achieve this amount. And then 80% had to be sold wholesale. So it's 80% wholesale, 20% retail, that's tasting rooms, by the glass, so on. And that's what the working group came up with. And that was taken out in Senate Labor and Commerce. So that was a major change. Working group came up with it, it was taken out. Other things have happened over the years. About 50 things have been attached to this bill, and then during the interims between sessions, things get changed. The most recent thing that changed in Senate Finance, this was an amendment to Senate Finance in 2020, was expanding the hours of tasting rooms from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Also, direct shipping of alcohol, which is a major change in how people do business and how alcohol is delivered to people's homes. This hasn't happened yet, but we'll see what happens with it. The other thing in this bill that's pretty different, as has been mentioned in the presentation, there's a three-tier system in Alaska. You have manufacturing, distribution, and retail. And within retail, there's liquor stores, bars, places you drink on-premise, places you buy it and drink off-premise. Manufacturers that have tasting rooms, you can do both. You can go in and drink, and then you can take a bottle with you. That's the only place you can do that. You can't do that in a bar or restaurant. I'm sure many of you know that. I think it was allowable some years ago before the last rewrite of this bill, of this Title IV. But expanding hours at 10 o'clock is a recent thing, which wasn't in any of the previous versions. And I think that, combined with the change that a tasting room, a manufacturer, in this bill in front of us can buy a bar license, a BDL, or a restaurant eating place license, which is a major game changer. So they can have two different kinds of licenses. It's definitely breaking down the three-tier system. So if I own a tasting room and I want to stay open late, I want to have a band every weekend, and I want to have a TV and show the games and all that, I can do that. And I don't want to count how many drinks people have. I can do that. I can buy a BDL from the open market where they're available. They're not cheap because they're a limited entry. Like if you're fishing, there's a limited entry permit. But you can buy one, and suddenly your manufacturing tasting room can do all kinds of things that it couldn't previously do. And I support that. I don't know what the effect of that's going to be, but I do support it. The other thing they can do is buy a REPL, which is a restaurant eating place license. And we went over a lot of these license types in the presentation, but there's a lot to digest in a very short time. But an REPL is a license that some exist already, and they are bought and sold on the private market. Some can be issued. You can get new ones. Currently, under current law, you have to get signatures and you petition. Under this bill, the municipality can issue some through the state. It was, they would reevaluate every 10 years. Then it went down to 5 years. Then it went down to 3 years. Now it's every year. And these changes have happened in committees in this building over the years. It started at 10, 5, 3. Now we're at 1 year. So every year, municipality can go back and say, hey, I want some more restaurant eating place licenses. And they can get them from the state and give them out, sell them. The fee is low, maybe $1,000 or $1,200. I don't know what they cost, but it's not $100,000 or $200,000. So we're proliferating REPLs, which I've heard some restaurant owners that have expensive BDLs that sell alcohol, beer, wine, and food are very concerned about that. They don't like this proliferation. Also, breweries can now buy these REPLs. So if you have a brewery that has food, of which there's two in the community of Juneau that I go to, I like them. They have food. If their food numbers are 50% of their sales, then they can get a beer and wine license. They can stay open until at least 11 o'clock. I don't know. I know they can have entertainment till 11, so I imagine they can stay open a little later. They can serve as much as they want. There's no limit, I mean, without getting people intoxicated, but they don't have to count glasses. They can sell the beer, for example, they produce. They can bring in wine. Some people don't like beer. They can sell them wine. They can have live entertainment. They can do all this stuff. That's in this bill, too, and that's a game changer. Those two things are major game changers. So, you know, the brewers came to me a few years ago and says, hey, we want to stay open later, you know, and we'd like 10 o'clock. They also said they like 12 o'clock, but they were compromising down to 10 for some reason. But this bill allows them to buy these other licenses. They'll let them stay open until 11 or 12 and have all kinds of extra privileges. And I don't know what the repercussion of that's going to be. I don't. And I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone can sit here and say, I know what's going to happen with these license expansions. I don't think they do. The other thing is, if I'm a brewery tasting room, and I have a endorsement to, or license to sell drinks on premise through my manufacturing license, and then I acquire an REPL, then that tasting room license that I had now is available to the market. So now there can be another one that's available. And what I don't know is if they can sell those or not, or if that's just an endorsement. And we didn't go over that in our presentation, but that's not really important. But anyhow, what this amendment does is it brings it back to pre-Senate Finance 2020, which isn't that long ago, considering the bill came out in 2015. It goes back to 8 o'clock. It goes to no live events and population cap at 3,000, which is the current law. But we've heard a lot about agreements and balances and groups, and everyone's on the same page. I know that my experience in this industry, which is extensive, certainly much longer than this bill's been around, and longer than tasting rooms have been around. And I remember when tasting rooms came around, and I was a busy business owner. I've been a member of CHAR off and on, but when you join CHAR, you join your regional CHAR, and mine was Interior Alaska, ICHAR it's called, and they didn't really meet too much. So I didn't really know what was going on, but I do remember when the tasting room debate was going on. It was before I was a legislator, but I've looked at a lot of the committee notes, and there was a lot of discussion. Are these going to become de facto bars? And a lot, all the testifiers, no, 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 absolutely not. They just want to sell a few drinks and help their business to help their manufacturing. I think we can look back now and say they're kind of de facto bars. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. I do go to them. But as the what I see is mission creep, more events, live music, extended hours. They're sort of treading on the territory that was occupied by beverage dispensary license holders, which is a limited entry. So I feel the value of those has gone down, and this expansion has hurt them. But that being said, I do read the tea leaves, and I know that there's been a lot of conversations with stakeholders, with CHAR. CHAR has adopted the position that's in Senate Finance Amendment of year 2020. Previous years, they did not. And I worked with CHAR a lot on this bill. And a lot of the people that called in and testified previously had not been in support of a lot of these changes. So they've changed their mind. I get it. I haven't. But in the spirit of compromise and cooperation, I will withdraw Amendment 23.
Amendment 23 has been withdrawn. Representative Rasmussen.
I was going to speak to Amendment 23, Madam Co-Chair, so I can wait till the next amendment.
Thank you. Next amendment, number 22. Representative Wool, is there a motion?
I move Amendment 22.
I'm again.
It's like, whoa.
There's been an objection. Representative Wool.
Thank you. Amendment 22, I feel, takes into account the long monologue I just rattled off about BDLs and tasting rooms and mission creep. This is a compromise. I feel this is a compromise. And I've talked to many stakeholders, ones that chose not to testify. They have testified in the past, and it didn't work out so well for them. So an Amendment 22 puts in, instead of 8 o'clock, which is current law, and 10 o'clock, which is on the bill, it splits the difference and goes with 9 o'clock. It also reduces the population cap to 9,000, which was the population cap in a previous version of this bill. It only recently, again, Senate Finance 2020, expanded the hours and then expanded the population. This would reduce the population down to 9,000 and reduce the closing time to 9 o'clock. I feel with all the changes going on in this bill that I think, you know, the senator said, well, let's make these changes, and in a few years we can come back and address it. Well, as many of us know that have worked on bills around here, it's really hard to do that. And it's especially hard if you want to contract some of the provisions in this bill or some of the privileges. So let's say they're open till 10, and after a while there's a big uproar and different groups say, hey, that was wrong, and they say, okay, we'll bring it back to 9. That's going to be really hard, if not impossible, to do. So what this does a baby step. It goes from 8 to 9. Don't forget, all these tasting rooms can buy BDLs and REPLs, which they never could do, and municipalities can sort of get more REPLs if they need them. So I think those two things combined to 9 o'clock is a great compromise. And I think that if a manufacturer tasting room really wants to have all these extended privileges of staying open late and all this, there's so many easy ways to acquire that through the two licenses. So I'd rather see how that goes, and I will compromise 9 o'clock with a population cap to 9:30. That's Amendment 22.
Thank you. We have Representatives Rasmussen and then Josephson. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And through the chair, I was wondering if we could hear from the maker of the bill, the underlying bill, and I guess also just for the record state that this does appear to be a compromise to me. I think that the patrons of a bar are probably different than patrons of a brewery or tasting room. I know that Alaskans in the summer tend to stay out a bit later. Hopefully our tourists are out a bit later, and I could easily see a sports team or families go to a tasting room or brewery with children if they serve food, and be there through 9 o'clock just with being the land of the midnight sun. So I do think that this is more fair. I don't think that families would go frequent a bar with their children, or I don't see that for sports teams, but I'd like to hear from the bill sponsor if possible.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. Senator Machicki?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy to answer that question. You know, you can tell when you've had a bill too long when people talk about recent changes from 3 years ago. The deal was a part of the last version of the bill, and I think that's an important thing. It was misstated recently. It was a part of it. And the reason there was a deal, we didn't get this far before, was because leadership had changed in an organization that kind of had that old-fashioned clamp on the industry, the tasting room industry philosophy. They were going to give nothing. And when that leadership changed, and people saw the writing on the wall as Alaskans were voting with their feet, we are trying to support a new industry while still recognizing the value of the licenses of the previous industry. Things change. The deal recognizes those changes and gives a lot of opportunities. And this amendment is simply a walk back. Changing, so right now, just so you kind of understand how tasting rooms work, they have a soft close where they can serve until 8 p.m., but then they can remain open for folks to get a meal with their families and do other things until much later. The compromise came about so that they would have a couple extra hours for alcohol, but close hard at 10 o'clock. A 9 p.m. close gives them nothing. In fact, what it does is it detracts from the potential for that business to succeed. Right now, they can sell food much later. Like we've heard from people, you can go with their families, you can enjoy it without some of the concerns and some of the other license types. Nothing against them, completely different business model. But what this says is that what this amendment does is it closes with a hard close and seems to give something back, like the 1 in 9,000 gives something. That's the reason why the brewing industry agreed to the current caps is because all the benefits they got in the package deal. And that was the 10 o'clock hard close, which allows them to go home to their families at 10 p.m. And this amendment reduces that by an hour, which actually moves them backward on what they're able to do today.
Representative Rasmussen.
I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, you talked about selling food or eating food. In what circumstance where they're not in our EPL? Would they have a pizza delivered at the brew house or something? I don't understand.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson. A hard close is a hard close. So you would be taking away the ability for them to sell food until today, although they have a soft close at 8 p.m. for serving tasting room beverages, they can stay open much later as a restaurant and serve food. This amendment closes them completely at 9 o'clock. So it sounds like it's a compromise because of the 1 in 9,000 change that the industry is not asking for. But what it's actually doing is putting a clamp on existing businesses and moving them backward where they have a hard close at 9 p.m. So they can sell alcohol for an hour longer, but then they're done. They're closed. No more food. Some of these sell some, so they vary dramatically. I know the brewery in the tasting room in Fairbanks that Representative LeBon often talks about has a food truck that provides their food. But some of them are relatively nice restaurants that have a tasting room in them. And part of the business model of what they don't sell in beer, they make up in food. This closes down the food piece at 9 p.m., moving them backward.
Follow-up.
Yes, follow-up?
I need to go very elementary on something I was talking to my staff about. When we say one brewery or distiller per 9,000, are we saying that if there were 9,001 citizens, there would be two? Or are we saying you need 18,000 citizens to have two?
9,001 and there can be two. One per 9,000.
Yes, Representative Josephson.
For the life of me, I mean, I'm familiar that Kodiak and Ketchikan are sort of in this range of population. I'm just not getting this. I'm just not. And so I invite anyone to educate me. I don't understand the significance of 9,000 or 8,000 or 11,000. I don't get it. So I'm a clean slate, and if someone wants to explain it to me, I'm available.
Senator.
Can I give that just an attempt? And you're an extremely intelligent guy, so if through this whole discussion we're missing something, it's a good opportunity for me to start over. Right now it's 1 in 3,000 for a tasting room. They have to close by 8 p.m. They can't have fun. They tried to actually.
Point of order. I was in one last night. I had a great time.
They actually tried to regulate fun with thousands of pages of regulations, and one of the prior executive directors of a certain board were removed because of it. They tried to define and regulate fun that they're not supposed to have in a brewery. That was a clamp from old leadership in part of the steering team that now has new leadership. That's still what you see in this amendment and others. It's a fear of what happens if we relax some of the rules. It was 1 in 3,000, couldn't have events, couldn't have fun. I'm sorry if anyone doesn't like that, but that was a part of the discussion. And they closed it, they soft closed at 8, which means they can stay open as long as they want it. So when all of these other pieces, we listen to all the sides, and the traditional licensees said, well, fine, we can work with giving these guys some additional things, but we need to know how many there's going to be. It's an exchange, just like any compromise. We're going to give them these additional benefits. We'll let them stay open until 10. We'll let them have 4 events a year. Let them support some local nonprofits with some other events in their facilities, things that aren't allowed today. But we need to know how many there's going to be. So for right now, our part of the deal was 1 in 12,000. That means if you have 12,001 in your community, there can be a second one. Now remember, all existing businesses are grandfathered, so no one goes away because of this. But along with it, that discussion said, we want to operate like a bar. We'll allow you to bar it via REPL. We'll allow you to operate like a bar. And then you have all the other benefits. So the value of licenses has not gone down. The reality of it is as the industry changes and the licenses will be more in demand with a new business model, like any other type of limited business, supply and demand, naturally the value of those licenses is going to go up. And I think you're going to see sort of a different approach to brewing, distilling, and wineries, where they kind of say, okay, we want to start small, but we'd like to grow as most businesses desire to do over time into one of these other models, freeing up another license. Now that's part of the fear that some have, is that, wait a minute, everything is going to be a brewery someday. And I don't think they will. I think there's still going to be a balance. I think there are different people that go to different types of facilities. So reeling them back, pulling them backward, I think is counter to what Alaskans want, that are voting with their feet. It's a popular business model, but the others still remain popular. They're not going away. I've seen you all in different places. Not that we're all a bunch of big drinkers, but we go to events, right? My family are brewery folks, but we periodically go to the others. Some people are bar folks that periodically I don't think that's fundamentally going to change. So I oppose this amendment because it tries to move the deal backward, and it's working against a new industry that deserves a chance. Did I answer the one in the population limit question?
Representative Josephson.
Not entirely, but I think I'm getting some of the nuance. I'm trying to, I did have a follow-up question. I'm trying to remember what it was. But I'll wait. Thank you.
We can come back to you. Representatives Lebon and then Ortiz. Representative Lebon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to propose a conceptual amendment to the amendment, and I will summarize it as best I can. The amendment calls for a 9 p.m. hard close. I would like to make that a soft close, and instead everywhere where the 9 o'clock hour is placed in the amendment, I would substitute 9:30 for a hard close at 9:30. I would call it a 9 o'clock soft close, or last call, if you will, at 9 p.m. So that would be the amendment. And if I'm looking at the amendment, there are five places where 9 o'clock is found in the amendment, and I would substitute 9:30 in those five places. Is that clear?
Representative Wohl.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I support the amendment, but I believe the correct interpretation is if not last call is at 9 and closings at 9:30, then it would only be page 2, line 8, because the other 9 o'clocks are when to stop serving, but at 9:30 is the quote-unquote hard close. So it would only go into one spot on page 2, the very last line of the amendment.
Madam Chair, I amend my conceptual amendment to read change page 2, line 8 from 9 to 9:30.
With that, we're going to take a brief at ease. House Finance back on record. Representative Lebon, if you could just state one more time what the amendment to the amendment will do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Found on page 2, line 8, it modifies the hard close time from 9 p.m. to 9:30.
Representative Josephson.
Just a comment that I do think, and this could get confusing quickly, but I do think I would look at this differently depending on the season. Summer, June 21st at 10 p.m. is sort of like 7 p.m. now. It's not late. It's fairly late or later in the wintertime, and that's a distinction with a difference for me, but I'm not going to offer that amendment. It just strikes me as yet another potential compromise. And I'm also thinking about accommodating tourists who might want that variability in their purchasing opportunities. If someone wants to engage on that, I'd be happy to do it.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz, did you want to speak to the conceptual amendment?
No, my original was back to the initial amendment.
Is there an objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, the brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. Representative Carpenter. Nothing? Representative Wohl.
Thank you. And thank you for the amendment, Representative LeBon. As someone who was in the bar industry for a long time, we were allowed to sell a drink right up to the last minute, and then we had to kick everyone out a minute later, and it's not fun. As far as people coming in and eating food after the place, the brewery, tasting room, or whoever stopped selling beer, I think that's probably not as popular or common as one thinks. Having been in the business, when I have to stop selling alcohol, it's a reason to start sweeping the floor and putting the bar stools up. But I think Representative Rasmussen said, well, a family after a game isn't going to go to a bar. They might not go to a bar, but they might go to a restaurant, and I'll name a couple, not picking any favorites, but The Hangar or McGivney's or Moose's Tooth, which has a BDL. So they could go in there, bring their family. It's not going to a bar, but it's going to a place that can stay open much later and serve beer and or food much later, too. So, and with respect to Senator Michicki's comments about all the valuation of the BDL, and it's going to go up because now these businesses can buy a BDL. I agree with him. However, if they could stay open until 10 and have live music and get a lot of the privileges of BDLs, then they're less inclined to buy a BDL. And the statement that some people are bar people and some people are brewery people, I think is an oversimplification and a misclassification. And I've gone to many tasting rooms and still do. I was in one yesterday, just happened to go there. I also go out, and for example, this past week was Folk Fest in Juneau, and there was a lot of live music in town, and I went out and heard a lot of it,
and call them bars. Fine. They're music venues that happen to sell alcohol. That's how they make a living. People go out and have a few drinks and listen to music. So when people say, oh, I'm not a bar person, they might be at a venue to hear a show, whether it's a comedy show or a cabaret show or a jazz band. All that is within the realm of BDLs, and that's one of the things that they can do. That's one of their privileges. They can't sell a bottle of vodka to go out the door, but they can sell, they can have music, and people will go in for it. So people say, I'm not a bar person. I'll still see that person at a grand opening of a club here in Juneau, a very nice one. And I see those people that say, I'm not a bar person, but then they're there. So where do you draw the line? It's entertainment, and I think BDLs have that value, but if it gets eroded into other spheres, they will lose that value. So I think this is a good amendment. It's a compromise. It expands from 8 to 9, and then 9:30 for the hard close. I think it's a good first step, and I know you can call a couple people that the brewers aren't going to like it. I know that, but, you know, they were in support of this bill before the 10 o'clock, I believe. And, you know, I think 9 o'clock is a good compromise, and 9:30 is also a good compromise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to clarify where we are, Representative Carpenter didn't – is. We have not adopted the amended amendment, true?
Correct.
May I ask you a question?
Yes. Now I will object to the amendment because I don't know if that was done yet for discussion.
Yeah,
Representative Josephson.
My question is for Representative Wolf. I'm trying to understand one dynamic of your amendment, and I'm treating it in my mind as having been amended, although it hasn't been. You want to reduce the opening hours for tasting rooms and breweries from 10 to 9, correct?
Through the chair. The bill, the current law is 8 o'clock, so I'm expanding it to 9. I'm not reducing it.
Representative Josephson. Okay, we will come back to you. Further discussion on Amendment 1 to Amendment 22.
Madam Co-Chair, if I could, please.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I am going to oppose the amendment to the amendment, just in thinking through my perspective. I agree with Representative Wohl that people may not be just bar people or just brewery or tasting room people, but I will maintain that I would never take my family to a traditional bar, but I would definitely bring my kids to a tasting room or Moose's Tooth or the Hangar. And just in thinking about his comment that you can serve an alcoholic beverage up to the last minute before the hard stop closed, and then you have to kick people out. I think as difficult as it may be to kick drunk people out of a bar, I think it's probably more challenging for people with kids that are out eating and having a beer or whatever to be forced out so quickly, I guess. So I think that maybe finding compromise at 9 or 9:30 as a closing time, but the hard stop I don't think should be at 9:30.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. Representative Wohl.
Yeah, thank you. I want to make sure Representative Rasmussen understands. This amendment, as amended, would say you can buy a beer up to 9 o'clock or a martini or whatever. And that's fine. And then you have a half an hour to drink it. And then they're going to close, which is more than current bars have. And I guess I do want to caution people when people say a bar, a BDL is a beverage dispensary license that a bar has. It's also the license that many, many restaurants have. So to say you're going to a bar to eat is sort of a misnomer, but it's using the same license type. Like I said, like,
you know, 49th State Brewing or Moose's Tooth or places like that that have BDLs. I'd call them restaurants over bars, but it's, again, we're getting lost in words. But the amendment says you can, instead of 8 o'clock, which is current law, you can go to 9 o'clock. And then a half an hour later, you have to finish your beverage and leave. And although right now there's no hard close, when they stop serving at 8, people aren't staying there for till 10 o'clock hanging out. And I'm sure the staff want everyone to go home. As someone who's been in that business, they don't want to hang out while you sip your beer for 2 hours.
Representative Josephson and then Carpenter.
Through the chair. Well, let me re-ask my question. I understand that your proposal would expand current law, but I'm looking at page 51 of the current bill, and that's the thing you want to rein in from 10 to 9, correct? Okay, got it. Now, my question for you is, I understand that the impulse for reducing the hours of opening from 10 to 9 is to have a fairer playing field for BDLs. That's my sense of the motivation. From the reform group, they want to reduce alcohol consumption. That's probably their motivation. But here comes the question. You want to then reduce the population limits, which would afford greater opportunities for brewers, new brewers to come in. Am I right?
Representative Wolf.
Through the chair, I'm going to 9,000 based on that was the previous number in this bill. And I know it was 2 years ago, but and we got a lot of testimony with problems with the population cap. Going up to 12, I understand that hurts people that haven't gotten into the business yet, but they don't really exist because they haven't gotten the business yet. Yeah, it's just sort of appeasing to the people that said, hey, 12's too high, go back to 3. And this doesn't go to 3, this goes to 9, which isn't even, quote-unquote, meeting in the middle. That would be 7,500. But this is a slight drop. We had a lot of testimony about that. It would, I think going up to 12 doesn't hurt brewers because then there's fewer of them and probably raises the value of their licenses, and I still don't know if they can sell their tasting room licenses yet, but yeah, this is a compromise. I think there's enough other changes in the bill that I think we should have a wait and see as far as who buys what kind of BDLs, REPLs, and if you do want to maintain the value in the BDL, you shouldn't give away all the privileges or many of the privileges in a non-BDL environment. I think, if they want to stay open until 11 or 12 and serve pizza, and that's fine.
I guess I'm just confused because as to the first part of the amendment, the idea is to put guardrails around the industry. And as to the second part of the amendment, starting on line 21, it affords more opportunities for this growing industry. And so they seem countervailing to me. And there's something I'm not getting.
Representative Wolf.
Follow up. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess, it's accomplishing two things that are different. I have other amendments that just do one or the other. I just combined it for hopefully expediency. but we had a lot of people in opposition to the 12,000.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I think I'm opposed to the amendment, and I think I'm opposed to the just wanted to stop and share some thoughts here. One of the previous speakers talked about families, and I'm thinking about what the message that we're sending or that could possibly be happening is that a young family with young kids would be in an establishment at 9 p.m. on a weekday, having their last drink before they take their family home. Is that what we want?
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. Further discussion? Representative Johnson.
Okay, I can only sit over here and get folks so long. A bar has pretty awful connotation, but we think of the smoky neon signs and sawdust on the floor and, you know, all kinds of bad things. But I've been in some places that are breweries that I wouldn't want to have my little kids. And I know places that don't concentrate on selling spirits but happen to have that license. I mean, for myself, I really don't like beer, and I only kind of like wine. So, I mean, I'd probably go out and have a margarita. That would be my preference. And so, I mean, I hate to get into the, you know, long details here, but if it's, you know, you have kids, you have outside venues, you know, it's just because it's has a license that can sell spirits does not make it someplace that's, you know, immoral acts are happening. That has to be someone's personal responsibility that they don't put themselves in a car with their family and drive home. So I think that to put that on anyone, whether they're an owner of a brewery or a bar or a license that they have a license to sell spirits, I mean, that just shouldn't even be. There's nothing inherently wrong with having a drink with dinner, having a couple drinks, knowing what you're doing. Any responsible person knows how to drink responsibly. So taking that off the table, I also don't think that you can necessarily say that one place is right for a child and one place isn't right for a child. There's as many different types of establishments as there are people that run them. So with that being said, I mean, I'm in favor of the amendment to the amendment. It draws a distinction, a teeny tiny distinction, between a license, the different type of license. 30 minutes of distinction. It's just minimal to the hoops that they have to jump. Person has to jump to have a license that you can sell spirits. So, with all the other things aside, these are just two different types of licenses. They're not about different types of places and people, and one license has got a much higher bar that you have to meet than the other, and so for that reason, I think they have earned the privilege to stay open just 30 minutes later.
Thank you. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I would just say that I am trying to come at this amendment from the mindset of a tourist or somebody who is, I mean, even an Alaskan playing tourist in another Alaskan community, I don't think that most parents in their home communities keep their children out at 9 or 10 o'clock at night drinking with them. But I do think about when we go on vacation to Florida, for example, or if I bring my kids to another community, it's sunny much later in Alaska than most other places. And, you know, if kids are out on a sporting event until 7 or 8, I mean, I had gymnastics meets that ran very late when I was younger, and we might not have gone out for a team dinner until 8 or 8:30 as a start time. And so it's, I think, as policymakers, especially as a more, I guess, conservative policymaker, it's our responsibility to let parents have the personal freedom and decision of what fits best for their family. That all being said, I think it would be a much more fair compromise to keep the 9 o'clock in the underlying amendment with a hard stop at 10, and I'm not sure if the committee would be willing to consider that, but I would be much more comfortable supporting that hour window so that we aren't asking parents to order a beer at 9 and chug it before 9:30, I guess. That gives an hour for people who may be out with a teenager or, you know, whatever the case may be, to finish their meal and have an hour from when they stop serving alcohol.
Thank you. We'll go to Senator Michicki, please, and then Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Makers of the amendments, this is getting silly, And instead of spending the entire day on every possible combination, if it makes someone feel better that they've moved the industry backward, if the amendment to the amendment were to pass, where there were a hard or a service stoppage at 9 and tasting rooms were to close at 10, if that makes folks happy and we can move on with this bill, we're talking about 30-minute increments, then I would support that amendment. But that's what we've gotten to. We've gotten to where folks are going to try to do whatever they can to keep the clamps on a new industry, but I don't want to waste your entire day and make you sort of haters of the bill because you're having to sit through hours of discussion on these different combinations. So I just wanted to make it clear, I would rather not change any of it. I think it's working against the spirit of the bill and the spirit of the Alaskans that came together to compromise to this level, but I'll leave that up to you. I'm just saying if the amendment to the amendment were to pass, the amendment passes, it's not the end of the world if hopefully we're done with that part of this discussion.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, Senator Machicki. And if it were to pass, I would be done. But I guess I just want to reiterate this. From current law, we're expanding. It's not a contraction. I know it's a contraction from the bill. And a lot of these businesses, and many new ones have popped up in the last few years, have entered the market under the current law. So they know the laws they're getting into. This is an expansion. I would think they'd welcome it. Also, this talk of families, I think we're conflating a lot of different issues here with restaurants and families and what time you go out and is it sunny in June and it's dark in December, and you know, that's a whole other can of worms that I certainly don't want to get into, seasonal hours and so with that I'll stop talking.
Thank you. Representative Carpenter.
Call the previous question.
I will maintain my objection. Madam Clerk, if you would please call the roll on the amendment number 1 to amendment number 22.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Ortez.
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen.
No.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Wohl.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Merrick.
No.
Six yeas, four nays.
And with a vote of 6 yeas and 4 nays, amendment number 1 to amendment number 22 has been adopted. So we will go to amendment 22 as amended. Representative Ortiz.
Without a lot of intent to discuss, but in the spirit of where I've heard the most comment in relationship to this bill, I would like to introduce amendment, conceptual amendment number 2 to amendment 22, and that would change the 9,000 figure to 7,500, which would be the true middle ground compromise that Representative Wohl spoke of earlier. And it is what it is. I don't intend to discuss it a lot, but I feel like it responds to a group of people who haven't always been at the table, and it speaks to competition and opportunity in an industry where, you know, I think it's a little bit early to shut it down. We haven't had that much experience here in Alaska with breweries. That's the purpose of the Amendment 2 to Amendment 22, and ask your support.
I will object for discussion. Representative Carpenter?
Point of clarification, please. Could you refer to the line numbers on the bill so I know exactly where it is you're making the change?
Sure. On lines 3, on lines 19 and lines 23 in line 4 on page 72, where it says insert 9,000 in those areas, it would insert 7,500.
So for clarification, that's page 1 of amendment number 22 of amendment, lines 19 and 23, 9,000 would be changed to 7,500. And on page 2, line 4 would be changed to 7,500. Further discussion? Representative Josephson.
Madam Chair, this, and this is true for all of us, this is one bill out of hundreds that we look at. And I, even though we've had testimony and I know there were previous opportunities, I could look at committee minutes going back to yesteryear, I don't, this is guesswork for me because I don't really know how many new opportunities are being created. Maybe someone does. But I understand the implications of it. It would invite more competition, broadly speaking, but we're probably just within this little narrow window of competition. So I don't know what the implications are.
Further discussion on Amendment 2 to Amendment 22. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease. Finance back on the record. We will take a 6 minute at ease. We will come back on the record at 10:55 a.m. At ease. House Finance on the record at 10:55 a.m. We are on amendment number 2 to amendment number 22. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, I will maintain my objection. With that, would you like to have wrap-up comments, Representative Ortiz?
Expansive wrap-up.
Fantastic. With that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Johnson. Representative Josephson.
No.
Representative Laban.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen.
No.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Wool.
No.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Merrick.
No.
2 yeas, 8 nays.
And with a vote of 2 yeas and 8 nays, amendment number 2 to amendment number 22 has not been adopted. That takes us to amendment 22 as amended. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wool in wrap-up.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and thank committee members for bearing with this amendment and its amended form. I appreciate the contributions and the discussion. I think it's a good compromise. It expands the hours of current tasting rooms, and along with the other provisions of this bill, I think it will help the industry. And I support the amendment. I hope everyone does too.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Do you maintain your objection?
Just for a moment. I just want to be absolutely clear. The impact of this amendment is that,
as amended,
is that at 9 p.m., essentially distillers and brewers, tasting rooms, et cetera, would have a hard stop on the sale of alcohol, and they would be required to close at 9:30. Is that your understanding?
Through the chair, yes. They can make their last sale to someone. Someone could buy a beer and sit down, and they'd have 30 minutes to drink their last one, and then the place would say, okay, everyone's got to go somewhere. And then they would close and start cleaning up.
Madam Chair, I continue to believe that May 1 to October 1 is this period of delirium where all of us are sleeping a few hours a night because we just can't get enough of the sunlight, and we're just in heaven. And people are willing to stay up late, and 10 p.m. is not the same. It just is a different thing. And if there were such an amendment, I'm not going to offer it. I would jump at it. But yes, I remove my objection.
Representative Carpenter, do you wish to speak to your objection? With that, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on amendment number 22 as amended?
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Pass.
Representative Rasmussen.
Pass.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Wool.
Yes.
Representative Carpenter. Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen.
No.
Representative Merrick.
No.
6 yeas, 4 nays.
And with a vote of 6 yeas and 4 nays, amendment number 22 as amended has been adopted. And that is all the time we have for this morning. So we will go ahead and set Senate Bill 9 aside. It is my intention to continue amendments at this afternoon's meeting should we have time after the presentation by the Port of Alaska. So with that, concludes our agenda. We will meet at 1:30, where we will hear that presentation from the port, and at 11 a.m., we are adjourned.